Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:29 PM. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is December 21st, the shortest day of the year. And Japanese banks were a little bit softer in here today, but they're still continuing to hold this move above 200. And I continue to think that this is a very interesting topic, because if they can continue to hold this breakout, then we can consider that this big first step above that base from back in 2011 and 12 is in the process of being completed, and that would represent really quite a sea change in terms of the perceptions of what the market potential represents. When we look at it on the long term, we can see just how low these prices are relative to where they were all the way back in early 1990, and that they're really not that far above where we started to see an impressive rally from the Koizumi days back in 2003 all the way through to the end of 2005, where the market went up by 5 times. So this is an increasingly interesting area, not least because it is really quite a different charting environment right now. It's much better supported today than it was back then. So I do think that this is an area that does merit some continued attention. And the second section is also worth keeping an eye on, because it is such a reliable lead indicator that this index has cleared the 7,000 level with alacrity and continues to extend this advance. And as long as it is holding the progression of higher reaction lows, and that so long as reactions are limited to approximately 500 points, I don't think anyone is going to be particularly worried about it. And this was also a relatively interesting day in China, because the stock market is firming now from the region of the trend mean on the A shares, and it has done somewhat better than that on the CSI 300. So we're starting to see that demand is beginning to return to dominance in here, and that's despite the fact that the flow of news about China is pretty much universally bearish. Everyone is talking about the extent of the debt problems, and there's no denying that there is a lot of debt out there. But debt really becomes a problem when you have to refinance, and right now that just doesn't seem to be a particular challenge for China right now. What is also worth keeping an eye on are the CDS spreads for the Chinese government. Despite the fact that we've had some volatility in the government bond markets, I think it is rather instructive that CDS for China are down around the 50 basis point level and have been trending lower just about all year. If we were going to have a really big problem in the finance sector, then it is reasonable to expect that CDS in China would be starting to push higher. And so far, there's very little evidence of that, which would suggest that the potential for continued higher to lateral ranging in a very measured manner is perhaps the base case. And the Hang Seng has been pausing below this 30,000 level, but doesn't it have a similar pattern to the CSI 300 in that its reaction has been relatively limited? It has held the progression of higher reaction lows. This doesn't look like anything other than a consolidation in the region of a big psychological level, and the most likely scenario is that we're going to continue to see this market pushing higher. But it's not inconceivable that we could see a pause over perhaps the next couple of months, because this was back where we had that accelerated peak in 2008, and everyone knows what happened after that. So what that suggests is that so far the reaction has been relatively limited, but the potential is that we could be going sideways for a while before it can successfully break on the upside, and what happens on the mainland is likely to have a fairly significant influence on that. Following the bounce that we had after the success in the Gujarat elections, the Indian market has been pausing, but certainly not coming down in a dynamic manner. And the Bombay Banks Index has been firming as well. It is not quite at the peak yet. So the Nifty is outperforming the banking index. And so far, this has still been a reasonably consistent environment, where the break above 28,000 has been sustained. And as long as that remains the case, I don't think anyone's going to be particularly worried about what's going on in the Indian markets. And the rupee has been really very steady, that it has been holding in a rather tight band for just about all of this year, but it is back testing its peak. And when we look at this on the weekly chart, we can see that the rupee had found support in the region of the trend mean, and it is now testing its highs. So the dollar is testing its lows against the rupee, and this is a significant development relative to what was a trending environment all the way between 2011 and 2016. When we look at the rand, I think that what I find particularly interesting is the tone of the commentary, that it tends to be prone to expletives almost, but so far the rand has been really very quiet for the last few days, despite the fact that headlines say that you've had massive moves. That's just not the case over the last three sessions. Now, what there are two risks, of course. One is that the ANC goes ahead with expropriations of property, and which it did vote for a couple of days ago. So that really is a potential problem, because when you start attacking the private ownership of property, that is one of the key fundamental drivers of any of standards of governance in any economy. So that could put pressure on the rand, especially following what was a pretty significant rally in the aftermath of Ramaphosa being chosen as Zuma's successor. But he's not going to get to take power for another year. And in between, the rand is now right back in the region of its highs for all of this year. So some pause of consolidation in this area would not be beyond the bounds of possibility at all. And if we just stick with some of the commodity producers right now, the Australian market was in mildly negative territory today. But what we continue to see is that the mining sector remains a bright spot. And considering that its relative weighting within the ASX 200 had been declining significantly over the last few years, the fact that I remember back in 2008, 9, 10, the materials in the financial sector were about equal weighted, but now the materials represents only about half the weighting of the financials index. Now the financials have not been performing to nearly the same extent as the materials sector. So what that tells us is that this break above 6,000 on the ASX 200 owes more to the performance of the materials sector than it does to the financial sector. And when we look at Europe, the FTSE 100 was up about 1% in here today. Theresa May was in Poland and got some support for her vision for what the Brexit negotiations might look like, but she is walking a very tight line. In the meantime, the FTSE 100 is at a new high. So what that is suggesting is that the kinds of companies that are contained in this index, which have got primarily a very global bias, are benefiting from this period of synchronized global economic expansion. And the pound is at, I think, an important Rubicon here. Now, it has paused in the region of its trend mean, and it has pulled back over the course of this week, but not particularly in a dynamic manner. It really does need to sustain a move above the trend mean to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. If it fails at this level, well, then that is going to open up the potential for additional lower to lateral ranging. But certainly there has been a loss of momentum in terms of the downtrend over the course of the last 12 months. So we may be able to confirm that this is support building rather than a distribution within an overall downtrend. We won't have conclusive evidence of that, however, until the pound does in fact sustain a move above the trend mean. I've still got my long position in the pound, but I'm not going to hang around indefinitely. And it's certainly, I'm watching this one rather closely. And the gold price, was in mildly positive territory in here today. But so far, this has been a relatively feeble rally with just a couple of dollars here and there over the last three sessions. It really does need to push back above the trend mean and to do so in a dynamic manner. And so far, it hasn't quite been able to do that. And that is, I think, something that is important because the fact that it has paused in this area without really having some conviction in the pace with which it should be rebounding suggests that this is still a market which is relatively balanced, and the compelling arguments in favor of gold would be if inflationary pressures were rising above the pace with which central banks are raising interest rates. But fortunately, that is just not the case right now. And when we look at the 10-year government bond, it is pausing around this 2.5% level, but it is pushing up out of this range. Upside follow-through next week would suggest that we are back into a supply-dominated environment, and that is potentially important, and not least from a total return perspective, because the Merrill Lynch 10-year total return index is now pulling back from the region of the trend mean. This is a developing type 3 top formation, and once it has been completed, well, then it will represent the end of one of the most consistent trends in history. And that is not something that is going to pass lightly over the financial markets. One of the, I think, the rather important characteristics that we have, and I've talked about this over the course of the last few days, but it was the growth in ETF flows. I'm going to post this chart and comment of the day today. We can see that ETFs have exploded in popularity since the middle of 2016, and the flow that is going into them on an annual basis is somewhere in the region of between $350 and $375 billion. That's rather a lot of money, and it is flowing in because we have had this very low interest rate environment and because we have had this very low volatility environment. And I should type the tickers correctly. The VIX is still trading below 10, and this has been an environment which looks quite volatile when you just look at it on that daily basis, but very involatile when you look at it on a weekly basis. And that is also, it gives us a view on how the compounding of the VIX being so very low tends to have that small moves in the stock market can have an outsized move on the volatility index. So when we look at the performance of the stock market, the Dow Jones is pausing below this psychological 25,000 level, and this is a natural area where people should be asking what next. The S&P 500 has also paused a little around this 2,700 area, and it is somewhat overextended relative to the trend mean. And as we approach the last few sessions of the year, it is not beyond the bounds of possibility that people start to ask whether they should start to take a little bit of profits or what should they do with their positions. But as long as volatility remains low and we're still in a benign environment in terms of monetary policy, despite the fact that government bond yields are starting to rise, they're not yet at challenging levels. And what that suggests is that this generally benign environment for stock markets is likely to persist into 2018. We know what to look for in terms of what the lead indicators will be for the next sign of trouble, but none of them are, I think, flashing red right now. In fact, most of them aren't even flashing yellow. What if we look at the high yield spreads? In fact, they've been pulling back this week and are still trading below the region of the trend mean. And as long as that remains the case, then this remains a benign environment. So we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside and also to synchronized global economic expansion. Now, oil prices have been largely range bound for the last 6 weeks, but they're pushing back up towards the region of that $65 area, and a pullback similar to that which we saw a couple of weeks ago, that dynamic pullback would be really required to question that we're not going to see prices moving higher from here. And obviously, Saudi Arabia wants to get a higher price before they IPO Saudi Aramco. But perhaps a more important influence right now is the desire from private equity firms and investors in oil companies to get some cash flow out of their investments in unconventional oil and gas. So they don't want to keep drilling new holes. They want some money to flow out of those investments. And what that represents is a potential headwind to supply growth coming out of North America. And that could contribute to somewhat higher prices on oil before supply is encouraged back into the market. We know that there is no shortage of supply. It is simply at what price. And we know that the lows are down there somewhere south of $30 because it simply becomes uneconomic to bring that additional marginal supply to market at those levels. And we do not yet know what the price is at which additional new barrels will come into the market, regardless of other factors, but simply based on price. I suspect that it's going to be somewhere around $70 to $80, but at the same time, we don't have evidence of that until we see the next significant pullback. And that then will represent the upper side of the long-term range. I suspect that we're going to have a volatile, rangy environment where we have oil prices rallying for a year or two and falling for a year or two for the foreseeable future. And I think that that kind of way of thinking about the commodity markets is particularly poignant when we look at the uranium price right now, because Cameco and Kazakhstan have both cut back on their supply of the commodity. That tells us that $20 is about as low as prices can go, and the price right now is about 24. And that is significantly below where it was back in 2008. When we think about it in those terms, then this is pretty much rock-bottom pricing. And if that is the case, then some of those investments must be looking reasonably cheap. Energy Resources of Australia, for example, came pretty close to going bust, but now it is beginning to perform, that it has come out the other end of what has been an incredible bear market, and it is at least surviving, that is, at least partially, if not majority, owned by Rio Tinto. Cameco, which is one of the largest producers, looks really quite similar to the uranium price, except that its lows are at $10 and the uranium price is closer to 20. And I think with that, when we think about the environment such as we have, we know that there are political headwinds. We know that the negotiations with the EU are going to be fraught with difficulty, that this really is going to be the deciding factor. And the fact that Parliament is going to get a vote on the substance of any agreement with the EU is probably good for democracy, but perhaps not great for the politics of the UK. And it suggests that that there is a non-trivial risk of political upheaval. Aside from that, when we look around the world, things do seem to be getting better, and when things are getting better, interest rates generally tend to rise, and we're also starting to see that. So we know we're in the latter stages of a medium-term bull market. In the meantime, Bitcoin has now pulled back by approximately $4,000. Anyone can see by looking at a daily chart that this is a larger pullback than we have seen at any time in the asset's history. And if one had a stop, it would have been triggered. If one doesn't have a stop, then someone is clearly not looking at the price action. This is a peak of at least near-term significance. And it represents an inconsistency following what was a really quite a consistent advance. It suggests that some of the heat is coming out of the market following the release of the futures. So there is this buy the rumor, sell the news phenomenon. And now the question is whether we are going to get a period of right-hand extension and or whether the market is going to snap back up. But this definitely represents an inconsistency. and potentially at the beginning of top formation. So I think this is a much riskier market today than it was just four sessions ago. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.